You're listening to the Voice of the Valley, KROX in Crookston, Minnesota, 1260 AM and 105.7 FM, and 92.1 FM in Grand Forks and East Grand Forks. It is 20 till 11 AM on this Friday, December 15th, as it is time for our Valley Talk program. And today we have Karma Hansen here from Save Kids Grand Forks. Karma, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Good morning to you and all of your listeners.
Thank you. And so how has the last month been?
It's been a busy month. Typically November and December tend to slow down a little bit, but it's also the time that event-wise, even though we're not doing events, it's a busy time because we're getting ready for the launch of the new year. So getting all of our schedules out for, our car seat checkup events or our bringing home baby class, or we offer babysitting classes and safe at home alone classes, and we offer trainings for parents and foster parents and stuff like that. So it's a lot of gearing up for the next year. So while event-wise it's quieter, it's still a lot of stuff going on at our office.
And while you're gearing up for next year, there's a lot of stuff that a lot of safety tips to cover for this year. Let's start with some winter travel guidelines.
Yeah, gosh, we're sitting in a day. I don't know if you guys are getting kind of a freezing drizzle over in Crookston today, but we're getting a little bit of that today, and I think more of it is expected into the evening. This is that time of year we've been really blessed this fall and into winter that we've had quite nice weather. We did have that one blizzard that came through, but it's really time to be thinking about, do you have your winter survival kit in your car? And are your vehicles prepared and ready? Have you had the tires checked on them? The depth of that tire tread is really important to getting good traction on snowy and, icy roads. So have you taken a look at that? When you think about winter survival kits, you want to include things like a phone charger, a good windshield scraper, maybe some non-perishable food items like granola bars or nuts, that kind of thing. Maybe a pair of jumper cables, something in there to keep warm with, so a blanket or a tarp or something like that that you could wrap around yourself or put over yourself. And then the other thing I encourage people to put in there is a shovel, not necessarily to dig yourself out, but if your vehicle goes into a ditch that is, filled with snow and your car becomes impacted in that ditch, we always say to stay with your vehicle and make sure you leave town with a full tank of gas so you have enough fuel to burn that or to run that car every so often. But doing so, if your vehicle is impacted into a snowbank or the ditch and the exhaust pipe is blocked, would be really dangerous. And so that shovel can come in handy to make sure that the exhaust pipe is free and clear, so that you don't have a buildup of that carbon monoxide, which can be really, really, really dangerous.
Yeah, all kinds of really good safety tips there. And also, when you're traveling with children, what safety precautions can you take?
Yeah, so a couple of the things that come to my mind is, it is a cold time of the year. And certainly, we want to bundle up and you want to make sure you've got hats and gloves and mittens and boots and, all the things that you need to stay warm. But that being said, we don't want those thick garments underneath the harness of the car seat. That it makes it big and puffy, and all of that compresses down in a crash, and it can make that harness on that car seat too loose. And so you still need to buckle up when you go to the car, bundle up when you go out to the car, but maybe you can start the car ahead of time and, get it warmed up. When your child gets in and in their harness, we would just want a thin layer of a coat, something fleece, possibly rather than big puffy down ones. And then think about maybe putting the coat on backwards or putting the, unzipping the coat and getting the harness right up tight against the chest and then wrapping the coat back around it. For younger babies, use a car seat cover that goes over the top of that car seat that, can cover up their face and until you get out to the vehicle and keep them warm that way. Or put the harness on and then put as many blankets over the top as you want. But just try to keep that cushy coat and puffiness free and clear of that harness system so that that, you know, that doesn't compress down. The other thing, you know, that comes to my mind as it relates to winter travel is, you know, let people know if you're heading out, you know, what time you anticipate being there, that you're on the way, what routes you're going to be traveling. And then I know, you know, we oftentimes want to get to that holiday gathering or to, you know, an event, be it a hockey game or a basketball game or, you know, your kid's school program or whatever that may be. But when there are winter storm advisories or no travel alerts issued, please, you know, pay attention to that and heed those warnings. You know, if you go out in a no travel advised situation and end up in the ditch or rear-ending somebody or in a medical emergency, you're not only putting yourselves at risk, but really the lives of those people who need to come out and respond and pull you out of the ditch. So that could be, you know, law enforcement officers, that could be medical personnel, it could be tow trucks, that kind of thing. And so really kind of being respectful of that and not, not going out thinking, oh, I can make it, I've got a big truck, or, you know, oh, it's not that bad. And being respectful not only, you know, to your family and people traveling with you, but others who might be, you know, having to respond in an emergency.
And also with the pedestrians out there too, you know, the days are getting shorter and shorter, and that means less and less sunlight. So we're traveling probably a little bit more in the dark than we might be used to, especially with a couple months ago. That's another thing to be aware of, those pedestrians out there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you mentioned that it takes longer for the sun to come up in the morning, and it goes down quicker in the evening. And you think about those kids who might be walking to school. Maybe they've got after-school activities, you know, be that a basketball practice or hockey practice or, you know, an after-school club or that kind of thing, where the conditions are such that they're walking in low-light conditions. A couple things. Those pedestrians really need to make sure that they're crossing at the street corners. And usually there's a light at that street corner. And so it will provide them, you know, with some visibility so that the drivers can see them. But drivers need to slow down and watch for people. If you are out and, you know, walking in low light conditions, get a some type of a reflective material on. You know, for example, a lot of winter coats come, you know, it might be a design that's sewn into the coat or, you know, a piping on it, you know, that is retro reflective. It might be on your shoes or your backpack. If it's not, you can certainly contact our office, and we have reflective zipper pulls. We have things you can put on your backpack. We've got a thing called a slap wrap that goes around the arm that you can use when walking. And get yourself so that if there is a vehicle coming, that something is going to reflect off of your clothing, and let them know that you're there. And then, you know, be really mindful as a pedestrian that, you know, drivers may want to stop, but given the slippery road conditions, they may not be able to. So, you know, talk to your kids about, you know, when they come to street corners, stop, watch the wheels of that vehicle have stopped, and that, you know, that they make eye contact with that driver. That's a good indication that it would be a safe time to cross. And be mindful that that car slide, and you know, you don't want to be moving until you know that that car is fully stopped. And then if you are a homeowner and you live on a street corner, particularly if you know that's a route kids take to get to and from school, think about being a good steward and, you know, going out there and not just shoveling your sidewalks, but making sure that the snowplow has not caused snow to pile up really high on those street corners, where maybe those kids aren't going to be visible or they can't be seen on those street corners. So maybe knock it down a little bit, take your shovel or your snowblower, and see if you can't make those intersections and those street corners be a little bit safer as well.
All kinds of nice, handy tips for outside, but let's head inside. As what can people do inside their home to make sure that they are staying safe?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. I want to just mention one other thing that came to my mind before we leave the outside. And that is, you know, our teen drivers, they're eager to drive, that have that independence, that kind of thing. But as parents, I guess I would just caution us that, you know, this is the time of year where we do see the number of crashes go up because of that inexperience of driving on ice and snow. And so don't just assume that your teen, who maybe is newly licensed or maybe got licensed a year ago, you know, and has one winter of winter driving under their belt. Don't assume that they make good decisions or that they remember how to drive on ice and snow. I would encourage parents to go out with them, ride with them in that vehicle, and, you know, think about, you know, maybe giving them a few kind, gentle reminders. You know, don't change speed or direction on ice. Don't use your cruise control. You know, give yourself a little bit more time to get to the places that you need to go to. And then really that whole sense of drive defensively, right? Like, don't just watch out for what you're doing, but watch out for other people on the road too. So just something to, you know, use that little extra bit of, hey, I love you kids. You know, I'm going to ride with you, you know, to the grocery store. Ask them to come with you to something, you know, where you can kind of assess their driving skills and make sure they're making good decisions.
Yeah, very, very important, as some of the inexperienced drivers, as you mentioned, they might have only experienced one winter, or maybe not even experienced a winter yet. So that's another excellent point about the driving, not just for us adults, but for the teenagers as well. Now let's head inside.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a festive time of year where we do a lot of decorating for the holidays. And one of the things I just want to mention as it relates to burn and fire dangers is with our Christmas trees. And, you know, there's a whole, you know, people have what they like, right? You're either all in on the live trees or you're in on the artificial trees. Matters not what camp you're in, but certainly there is a little bit of an inherent danger in those live trees because they do dry out. So if you're purchasing a tree, it's really important that when you get it home or you're leaving where you're buying it from, that you get a fresh cut put on the bottom. When they're cut out in the field and brought to wherever they're being sold, the sap in that tree starts to settle and it forms almost like a plug on the bottom of that tree, which prevents it from being able to suck water up. So you always want to make sure that you've got a fresh cut on the bottom of that tree so that when you get it into the water, that it can soak that up. If you are in a home where there are pets, consider that you might need to add water to that tree more often because those pets sometimes find that bowl of water underneath the tree and don't realize it's not meant for their consumption. And the next thing you know, they've drained your tree stand of water, which will allow it to dry out a lot quicker. When you're looking at whether your tree is still good to have in the home, what we encourage you to do is take the pine needle, take one of the needles off, and put it between your thumb and your forefinger and pinch them together. And if that needle breaks instead of bends, that's telling you that it's very brittle and dried out. And that plus the combination of light on a tree make it very, very dangerous. You know, if you think about what's under your tree, you know, you've got cardboard boxes and you've got wrapping paper and stuff like that. And oftentimes those beautiful illuminated Christmas trees can become a fire hazard really quickly. So pay attention to the status and well-being and the freshness of that tree. And then always make sure that when you go to bed at night or you leave the house, that you shut the lights of that tree off. You know, put it on a timer if you think you're going to forget. And then make sure that you are sleeping with your doors of your home closed. Many times people are not killed in a fire because of the flames, but rather the smoke. And the prevention strategy, you know, to give you a little bit more time to get out of that home in the event of a fire, or to even, you know, wake up to the sound of the alarms and not be overcome by smoke first, is by sleeping with those bedroom doors closed. So keep them closed in all of the sleeping rooms, and then make sure that you have a functioning smoke alarm outside and in each of those sleeping quarters.
Something that came to mind while you were talking about like hanging up the lights is sometimes you need like an extension cord, or, you know, just the cords that are all in part of, you know, decorating the Christmas tree. How should people go about making sure that those cords are in the safest part as possible?
Yeah, so you never want to overload your sockets, and it will usually tell you on the string of lights that you get how many of them you can string together. You don't want to use a power strip to do that. And then you also want to think about that for outdoor lights as well, that if you're using, you know, some kind of lighting outside that you don't have an extension cord that, you know, might be draped across an area where you might be running a snowblower or that type of a thing, because that could certainly, you know, cause an electrocution there. Also a place where people are walking and that might be covered up with snow and could become a trip hazard. So the number of lights certainly would be noted on the tag or on the slip that comes with them in the box, and you just don't want to overload those. The traditional lights burn hotter than the new LED lights, but pay attention to what those warnings are. They're there for a reason. And then if you are, you know, decorating with candles, maybe you're hosting a holiday party or something like that, maybe think about using a flameless candle as opposed to a real one, particularly if you've got like garland or some kind of decorative greens around it, where, you know, maybe you're hosting the party and you're busy with, you know, entertaining and watching the food and stuff like that, and maybe not the candles as much. And if that candle burns down and gets to those greens, that could certainly become a danger as well.
Well, and something that we might be doing something we might be doing is cooking too.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we always talk to people about cooking because over half of house fires start from unattended cooking. And it's people who either, you know, fall asleep, maybe they're making a late night flight snack and they fall asleep, or they get busy and they run to do something, or somebody comes to the door, or they answer a call, or they attend to kids, and they leave the kitchen items unattended. You know, if you need to leave the room, you always want to shut a stove off so that you don't have a burner that's actively burning. An oven is different. But a stove top, you would want to shut off. And then look at what you've got in that kitchen environment near that stove to make sure that it's not something flammable, a wicker basket or an apron or a dishcloth or maybe your roll of paper towels, making sure that those stay free and clear from that area. And then certainly turning the pot handles to the back or to the side so that you don't have kids or even pets. You know, pets might smell something cooking on the stove and jump up to see what it is, not realizing that if they touch that handle, it's going to topple that pot over. And we see a lot of burn injuries to pets and to kids who've inadvertently tipped that pan off onto themselves.
Do you have any other general holiday safety tips?
Well, a couple things. As you are heading out into your holidays, I know you may be carrying gifts and suitcases and all that kind of stuff with you. But that being said, you do need to make sure that everybody in that vehicle has a seatbelt or a car seat, that they're buckled up, you know, that you don't take a break from kind of those things that you need to be doing all the time just because you have extra gifts or packages to take. You know, take an extra vehicle if you need, you know, get a rent a unit that you can put up on the top of the car, that type of a thing, because it's not a time to be driving around unbuckled. And then, you know, think about the decisions that you're making over the holidays, the Christmas and New Year's, as it relates to alcohol and not driving if you've been drinking. Have a plan for a safe ride home or a place to stay. And again, you're not just putting yourselves at risk, but all of those people that are with you. We do have a car seat loaner program at our Safe Kids office. I will just mention that. If anybody has guests coming to town over the holidays, maybe they're flying in and they need to borrow a car seat, they can contact us up through the end of next week, and we can get them a loaner seat that they can borrow if they need that.
Well, Karma, informative as always. Thank you for sharing all kinds of safety tips as we are into the holiday season, and especially looks like the weekend we might have some slippery conditions out there, but also inside as well as we're starting to have our holiday parties and whatnot. So thank you again for joining us here on our Valley Talk program. We hope you have a happy holidays, and I look forward to speaking with you in the new year.
Thank you. And if your listeners need anything, they can contact us at All True Health System or via our Facebook or webpage. They can get a hold of us quite easily. So thank you for having us on.
Thank you very much. Karma Hansen from Safe Kids Grand Forks. And now it is time to hear from the AP News.